Okay. Okay. Yep. Tree pollen is really high right now. They don't want us to know him. They don't want us to show him. They say forget about it. But we're gonna stand up and shout it, shout it. God's doing marvelous things. God's doing marvelous things. All over the universe, God's doing marvelous things. So I just had a song in my heart, and I just love Jesus. So I wanted to sing that song. Okay. Sorry, everybody, on the audio and video. We had to have a Jesus moment. Just has to happen sometimes. You got to just bust out. You know what I'm saying? Okay. This is lesson 18, Romans class, and the title is Spirit and Flesh. We're going to contrast the two today. Carol, I'm glad you're here. I was wondering if you were going to make it. So, yay, I'm glad you're here. okay. Oh, and I guess, you know, now I'm saying it for the world, but pray for Patty. She had to have some dental surgery today, and it was pretty rough. So she can't make it to class today. She really wanted to be here, but she's suffering. So keep her in prayer as you think about it. All right, spirit and flesh. Let's start with, oh, first of all, I didn't make a sign-up sheet for the homework assignment. Who remembers what the homework assignment was? Read all of Romans if you hadn't done it already. How many, I think you did it before. How many of you completed your homework assignment? One, two, three. Good job, everybody. All right. Okay. The first thing I want to do is review last week's class. Does anyone remember? See, it's a good thing you set up the mics. Here I go. Does anybody remember what we talked about last week? I know. It's been 7 days. Yes, Kim. The spirit of life. Very good. Would anybody care to define the spirit of life as we were discussing it last week? Yes, Kim. That's right. Very good. What else? Yes, Carol.
The self-giving life of Christ.
The spirit of life is that quality of life that gives itself that only Jesus has. That's right. What else we learned was that there's a law to this life. This life has a law. The law of the spirit of life. Does anyone remember what the law is? It's kind of like, not like a Mosaic law, like a commandment, but like a law, the law of gravity is something that is always true. What is it, Carol?
It is. Whenever the spirit of life is working, then resurrection is imminent.
Resurrection is imminent. The spirit of life is that Jesus gives his life for the ungodly. The law is that there has to be a resurrection when that happens. So we are under a law. Just not the Mosaic law. We are under the law of the spirit of life. Our whole being is governed by that. Our whole existence, at spiritual existence as believers. Hi, Amber. How are you doing? Yay. Amber's here. We love Amber. Our life that we currently have, the Jesus in us, has its roots in this law. Our existence as believers is the fulfillment of this law, okay? Because Jesus died, and there was a resurrection, and the resurrection is sitting right here in the sense that Christ is in you, and you are living by that life. That is the law being in effect, okay? So that's what we were looking at last week. Everything about our relationship with Jesus is based on the spirit of life, the self-giving spirit, and the law that is so a part of this life, that life comes out of this kind of death, this life, this self-giving kind of death. And so wherever Jesus gives his life, there's resurrection. But what we have come to find out is that now the spirit of life is in us too. That the resurrection is that we don't only get to partake of the benefits of it, like, woohoo, I don't have to die or I'm not going to hell. Now, part of the law of that spirit of life is that that same spirit of life is in as many people who are bound up with the resurrection. Okay, and that's the Christ who is in us, the one who gives himself. Okay, and then what we said was that from now on throughout the rest of chapter 8, this is going to be like our rule of thumb of how we're going to interpret the whole chapter based on the spirit of life. And it works, and I don't mean that like a formula. I mean like I couldn't believe as I was preparing for this class a few months ago, and the Lord just kept bringing it back around. This is what this passage means, that further on in chapter 8. It means the spirit of life is at work, and this is how it works. And then further down, well, this is what this means. It's because the spirit of life, and the effect is in you in this way. And so we're going to just see how the self-giving spirit, which brought life to us because Jesus died, is now working in us. Okay, and that's what we're going to be looking at. So, we're going to begin to talk about how we begin to, we'll call it conformity. We really haven't gotten to the conformity word yet. That's really in like verses 29 and 30 of this chapter. But really, that's what we're going to be talking about, is beginning to live inside the boundaries and the contrast for the believer who lives inside the boundaries of the gospel or does not, and the effects of that, the effects of that. So having said that, today our verses are going to be verses 5 through 8. You may have noticed that this class, this quarter, the Romans class, has a completely different pace than the previous quarter. The previous quarter, we just went through a bunch of material really fast. Like sometimes we take whole chapters in an hour. We're not going to do that so much this time. The Lord has really slowed it down for me and just really, I feel like, wants to pick apart Romans 8, and we're going to take all the time the Holy Spirit wants to do that. We're not going to try and get through everything in the rest of the epistle. So let's read verses 5 through 8. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Okay, so we have this really severe distinction going on. It's very either or. There is very little gray area right here. And I just praise Jesus that there are a lot of things that he gives us a lot of liberty that religion doesn't, and I'm really happy about that. And I'm sure that you have learned that through the years, that things that Christians think you should do or shouldn't do and become the issue really aren't the issue, and there's a lot of latitude in the Lord. But when it comes to whether it's Jesus or not, there is no latitude. And that's where the Lord is uncompromising. It's Christ or it's not Christ. There's not like a middle ground between the two. It's one or the other. And that's because the cross is between Christ and not Christ. So there's not much left. And we have seen that, haven't we, over and over again in our little pattern that we've had on the board with the circle on one side, or the quarter circle and the sun-suppressing arena on the other. We've seen how there really is no overlap. Now we're going to see that there is no overlap with a believer, where he's operating. So our first phrase, they that are after the flesh, it could be said this way, those who are in accordance with the flesh, to be in accord, those who are of the same substance as flesh, those who are in conformity with the flesh, those who are like in harmony, in concordance, those people who find themselves made up of the stuff of flesh, do mind the things of the flesh, or will hold flesh opinions, will be intent or have purpose based rooted in flesh, will just be disposed to an agenda of flesh. Okay? Does anyone remember, again, I'm reviewing quickly, how we are, what we're calling flesh? We have some words we've been using. Yes. No? Uninhabited humanity. Originally, we called it the realm of sun suppression. Under wrath, right? Ungodliness and unrighteousness of man. It is the reprobate mind is part of that, but it's not necessarily the whole thing. But now, Paul is changing terms from under wrath and suppressing the truth and unrighteousness. He's talking about spirit, and he's talking about flesh. And what we discovered last week was that flesh is simply man who was created to be inhabited by God, choosing not to be inhabited by God. So God, or man minus God, equals flesh. Sun suppression. A place that was supposed to be a vessel, but is simply filled with itself. Yeah.
You could say flesh is just a lack of the spirit.
Yeah, it's what's left over when God's not there.
Like
with reference to people. With reference to people.
Darkness is simply just the absence of light.
Exactly. And the issue is specifically is that humanity was created as a habitation for God. That was the original intent. That wasn't something that came that God had a brainstorm a few thousand years after man was created and said, "Hey, I have an idea. Let's live there. Hey, cool." No. He already thought it through. And then he created man, presented them with a tree that they could choose, and they said, "No, thank you." So they separated themselves from God's purpose. Therefore, they became a realm of sun suppression. That was all last quarter. And that is uninhabited humanity. Okay? So they that are after uninhabited humanity will have a mind, purposes, intentions, motives, agenda of that realm. So those who are in accordance with sun suppression, believers who have a basic lifestyle of suppressing the sun, they will find their mind dominated by those interests and agendas. Okay? Does that make sense? This is not talking about believers versus unbelievers. Oh yeah, we're believers, so that's spirit. And unbelievers, people who are going to hell, that's flesh. No, no. We've kind of shifted now. Paul is talking all about believers. So you could say, we could say that we can now change our template a little. Ooh, I'm all wrapped up. It's okay. Right there. I solved my own problem. Thank goodness for our tech guys who know it all, but that one I could solve. So we have called like this the realm of the gospel with reference to you are here and we are not here. And we were talking about the type of humanity we're of, and we've said how here's the realm that's under wrath. This is the realm of sun suppression. This is the realm of the gospel. This is where you are beloved and called to be saints. And I've been saying, you're here. You're here. You're here. We had a whole quarter of you're here. Look at all this, but hey, you're here. You may not understand it, but you're here. And I've been saying that. Now we're going to shift a little bit. In relationship to God, you are here. But your mind may not be here. Right? We've been talking about that too. Your mind might be operating here. And we've all kind of gone, I think so, at least sometimes. That's the issue of Romans 8. He's talking about where our minds are operating. Okay? So, now this has become a pattern, this has become a template for our minds, the state of a believer's mind. You have a state of mind. It's either flesh, uninhabited humanity, or it's spirit. Okay. And all he's doing here, now just so you know, because, okay, can I just say it? That I too take field trips. I'm not rebuking you when I talk about this stuff. This is where we're all being dealt with, okay? And if you are sensing any kind of, ooh, I've had a moment of clarity and it's not good, that could be the Holy Spirit talking to you. But that's not me saying that you're bad or you're a failure, because the Lord's talking to me too. And I see places where I'm operating here too. So this class is for me too, okay? So, you know, verse 1, there's therefore now no condemnation. Because in relationship, we are here. But now we need to start identifying. I mean, wouldn't it be good to know where you're not operating in the Lord so you can deal with it? Instead of imploding and feeling condemned, and then it never gets dealt with, you just implode and feel condemned, and then you have to go somehow find a way to feel better. So God touches you, and then you feel better, but you never really got that thing addressed. You know, do you know what I'm talking about? You know, or you feel his presence, so you think it's okay now. You know, it's kind of like that monster under the bed feeling. I don't know if you've ever had that, but maybe like, you're reading the scriptures or God is dealing with you about something or you're reading a book and a moment of clarity comes, but it's not full-on clarity about everything. It's just like the sense of, ooh, there's something down there that is yet untouched. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like down here, there's that it's yet untouched. Okay, the cross. Then the Lord has his timing and his way, but it is the Lord's intention to address those things and remove it insofar as that we permit him to. Okay, but for us to permit him to, he needs to have the freedom to move. But then it gets tricky because it is really hard for us to see those things about ourselves. We freak out. We have all kinds of strange reactions. You know, everything from blame shifting to self-deception to, you know, feeling sorry for myself or feeling condemned. And we can get so under all that stuff that God has to back off and not deal with those things because he's not trying to destroy us. And he would rather leave those things intact, okay, and bring us on in the Lord as far as we are willing to go, because he'll get more Jesus out of us that way than if he just like forced his way in there, made us face it, and then we destroy ourselves out of despair. Okay, so he will take you as far as you are willing to go. But the key is, in looking at some of this stuff, is that you have to stay on the ground of no condemnation because you're in Christ. That's the only way you can address this stuff, because otherwise it's really hard on us to see what we are. It's hard to do, and it takes a toll on our emotions and on our minds. And believe me, I'm talking from experience, okay, and recent experience. But these things have to be addressed. And so what we're going to do in verses 5 through 8 is we're not going to really give you the answer, but we're going to identify the differences of mind. We've identified the differences with reference to gospel in Christ, you know, sin suppression, what's crucified. We've done all that, and we've reinforced we're here, we're here, we're here. Now we want to get on down the road to where we're actually living inside the boundaries in a real way. So we're going to have to address where we aren't. We're going to need to face it. Say it's crucified with Jesus. I join with him in condemning it, join with him in forsaking it, and getting on in the Lord. Okay, but you have to start identifying things, and the Spirit needs to have that liberty to do that. That's part of the process of learning Christ. And, you know, I was thinking about last week, I was thinking about Carol and Patty and myself, and that, you know, we've been in the message a really long time, and you're in the message, and you're in the message, and decades go by, and changes don't happen, and you're like, well, I believe it's true. I just, you know, and you start coming to some conclusions about some things. I don't know if you have, but I know that I have. Like, you know, I'm going to have to, like, take some different steps. I thought it would just kind of happen. And pretty soon you realize you have to start really addressing some things if you're going to take the steps. Do you know what I'm talking about? Because I know for me it's been really that. I think Patty would agree too. Anyway, I hope I didn't put you on the spot there. I don't mean to do that. Okay. So we have to face things in the Lord, not in an introspective way where we're just going around on a dumpster diving mission inside ourselves, digging up garbage. But if the Spirit wants to move and address some things, we need to be on the footing with the Lord where in no condemnation, where you're with God, no condemnation, you're one, he's in you, you're in him, all things are new. Okay, now I'm going to show you what's contrary to that so we can get on in the real thing. And that's his Spirit and his heart. But until you're really settled in the former, he can't move on into the latter. So now you're in a holding pattern until you're firmly in Christ and God is for you and he is with you and you are with him and you believe his word. And now he can start addressing some of this after the flesh stuff because he's got you with him in a strong enough union embrace that you're not going to like break off into outer darkness where there's weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. You know what I'm saying? You'll be with him in it. So that's what he's beginning to do. He's beginning to address now for the believer. We're firmly established here. Now we're going to separate what's going on in the mind, because no matter what your mind does, you're still one with Christ. So now let's do this so we can actually begin to take on the form of the place that we are, okay? So we are talking about two scenarios. So we're not talking about believers versus unbelievers. We are talking about a scenario, two scenarios that faces every single believer, or two scenarios that face every single believer. Every single believer at any given moment in their lives will find themselves operating in one or the other of these two realms. Every single believer, not just loser believers or mediocre believers or no-name believers. And all the superstar believers are, you know, always here all the time. No, no. Every believer makes decisions all the time. I don't care how long they've known the Lord or how much they know in the Word or who teaches and who doesn't have ministries and who, you know, has to take medication for depression. I don't care. That's all earth stuff. There's after the flesh and there's after the Spirit for each and every one of us every day. Okay? And it's a decision-making lifestyle. We talked about the once and for all. There's a one big yes when we said yes to Jesus, but there's the yielded yes. The little yes is every day. Okay? And that's kind of the same idea. Okay. We are all in Christ. We are all dead to sin. All of these things are settled. The variable now, what makes it all work, is what's happening in the soul. What's happening in me personally. because you are dead to sin and you are in Christ, Romans 5 and 6. Okay, so now the variable is me, and that's what we're going to address, the variable. With what is the soul in accord? If the soul is in accord with flesh, your mind is going to go there, and then you're going to take on that image. If your soul is in accord with spirit, your mind will go there. They that are after the flesh or in accord with the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Spirit, spirit. If you are in accordance with this, then the things of the spirit, your mind will go there. Accordance really just means identification. Wherever you identify. Wherever you identify, that's when your mind is going to go. Has anyone ever tried to control your mind and make it think Jesus thoughts all day? Anyone got like a real fire lit under them about how spiritual they were going to be, and they're going to get after God and think about things of God all day? Anyone do that besides me? Yeah. How long did that last? Any times? About 4 seconds. That sounds about right. Because I can't pray for more than 4 seconds. I'm thinking about like what's for supper. You know what I'm saying? Like if I'm just trying, my point is if I'm just trying to control my thoughts, don't think about a white elephant. Well, what's the first thing you think about is the white elephant. So you say, control your thoughts. And you go, I shouldn't think about French pastries. And it's like the first thing you're thinking about because you're trying to control it. So it doesn't work. You don't control your mind and then it's all okay. You have to begin to identify. I am of this. Your mind will start to gravitate towards what you're embracing. It starts deeper than the mind. It's like the mind is here, but it's like that verse out of John 7, out of your belly flows rivers of living water. Not out of your intellect, out of your belly, out of the core of your being. See, as the core of your being embraces this realm of gospel, this realm of Son, it begins to well up from within and will begin to flood your soul, and it will begin to direct your mind over here. Okay? That's why the intellectual thing doesn't work. Well, among other reasons, but just intellectually having this material down doesn't work. It has to be an embrace from the belly or embrace from the core. When you embrace from the core, your momentum begins to shift. But if you love Jesus with all your heart, but there's something about you that from your core is still embracing a lifestyle of sun suppression, not of sin, just a Christian lifestyle that has nothing to do with Jesus living there, you're going to have purposes and agendas. Your emotions and affections are going to get all bound up with earthly stuff. Your mind is going to be filled with the worries of this age. You know, your big goals in life will have nothing to do with the sun, even though you love the Lord. Okay, but there has to be that gut or core embrace. You have to be after the flesh, after the spirit. Then the mind will begin to take on the interests. Your viewpoint, not just your intellect, but your viewpoint, the way you see life will begin to change. And now, this is like 17 steps forward, but now you get into a situation, here you are down on earth, you know, you've got two realms to decide which one you're going to live in your mind. And something, this is not supposed to be a cross, it's supposed to be a person. Here's a little stick person on earth. And something unfair happens to that person. We'll put an X because it's a negative circumstance. If his core has already embraced a sun-suppressing way of navigating through life, like this is his wisdom, is any kind of sun suppression. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps or, you know, run over everybody, you know, intimidate everybody so you can get your way, or make more money than everybody else so I can pay everybody off, whatever. Okay, something unfair happens to him, he's going to use, his mind is going to go navigate within this system to deal with the unfair thing that happened to him. But if he, before the unfair thing ever happened, with his core, with his heart, with his belly, embraces or is after the spirit, his mind is going to tend there. So when the unfair thing happens, he sees an opportunity to let that spirit of life live in him. His mind, it's the same circumstance, it's the same person, but his soul is in conformity with something different in each scenario. So it's not working your mind up like something bad happens. And maybe it's like a friend stabs you in the back. That's an easy one because it happens to all of us. You know, whoosh, and you feel it. You feel the sting of it. Like, my guard was down and this is what happened. You know, and okay, the thoughts start. What are you going to do that person? Well, maybe you're too spiritual to just out and out ream them, you know, or give them a tongue lashing, but you know, you'll start subtly dropping things behind their back to people, or you begin to, you know, you begin to do these little things to kind of manipulate the situation to vindicate yourself. And then you go, oh, wait, that's not Christ. That's the knowledge of good and evil, and I'm supposed to be eating the tree of life, so I'm not going to do that. I'm going to pray for him. So you you take on the action of praying for him, and you're still like stewing on the inside. It hasn't really changed. But you're trying to make your mind go the right direction, but because you haven't put yourself in accordance with a whole realm, you can't make your mind go that way. You're still upset and angry no matter what you do. Even when you say, I'm not going to go by the knowledge of good and evil, you're still doing it. Like by the knowledge of good and evil, you're trying not to go by the knowledge of good and evil. Right? It's exactly what I know. How do you think I know this? Anyone just want to guess? Because Mallory does this. That's right. So, you know, I have learned this in the School of Hard Knocks. It's what you're in accordance with. That's where your mind is going to go. If you try and just force your mind to go there, it's just another sun suppression method that's going to end up in death. You might get more knowledge about the things of God, but there isn't really going to be any life. Okay? All right. Let's see. I'm not moving as quickly as I would like, but I guess God's moving as quickly as he would like. Okay. So just to kind of fill in our little chart here, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. So I'm going to put after just because I don't have a lot of room, but you could put in accordance in your notes if you have enough room. After leads to a mind. You could call it the carnal mind. Does anyone know what carnal means? Fleshly. It's just the adjective for flesh. You could say fleshly mind. So they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the spirit do mind the things of the spirit. To be carnally minded, that's it's referring to the verse in front of it. Does that make sense? It's not a new subject. To be fleshly minded is death. Okay. So if you are after flesh, you're going to have a fleshly mind. If you are after the spirit, I'm just going to put after for to keep it short, but you guys can fill it out in your notes. You're going to have I'm just going to put mind, but you could have, we'll just say a spiritual mind. I'll put SP because I don't have a lot of room. Now, the question arises, and, you know, many theologians and people who are smarter than me and many people who know Jesus better than I do have put forth the proper interpretation of what spirit means here. Some people think it means Holy Spirit. Some people think it means the spirit of man. Based on what I feel like the Lord has been sharing with me lately, I'm going to put forth my little idea, and that is it is the spirit of life. They that are after the spirit of life will mind it. They that are in accordance with the spirit that gives its life, not just the spirit, right? You know, that woo-hoo spirit, I'm just moving with the spirit. No, the spirit of life, the life that gives itself. They that are after the spirit of life will have an agenda, a spirit of life agenda. They'll be of the same substance as Jesus is. Does that make sense? Isn't that cool? I think that's really neat. I think that makes sense. It keeps everything from being so fractured. Now we've got one thought going through the scriptures and not Paul the schizophrenic addressing 27 topics in 16 verses. Okay? Like, I tend to read, I don't know about you, I tend to read the Bible that way. So, okay. So, if you're embracing this, you're going to have a carnal mind or a flesh mind. If you're embracing this row, after, you're going to have a spiritual mind, okay? So that's the plight of the believer. What are you going to embrace? Because that's the beginning of the ball rolling down the hill. You know, you've got a mountain, you've got a ball on top. One way is flesh and one way is spirit. Which way are you going to tip that ball? Because whichever one you embrace, certain things are going to fall into place. There's going to be a mind that follows the realm. And after the mind, you guys, there's an image. Yes, Amber.
One thing that I've noticed in this sort of thing is when you're trying to do stuff in the spirit instead of the flesh, it doesn't quite work that manner. I found in my own life that when you're having an issue and you really want to follow after the Lord with it, mm-hmm. instead of doing the same thing you've always done, is to stop trying to do, you know, not do the same thing you've always done, and to just love the Lord more and go after him more. And it'll grieve you in your spirit if you continue in the same line, but if he's bringing it out in you, he's working it out of you.
That's right.
So it's not about trying, it's about going after the Lord harder.
Absolutely. Amen. That is the truth. That's new covenant. It totally works, and that's new covenant relationship instead of old covenant relationship. And we've been brought into that, and that's our heritage now. Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay. Okay. Just so we know, again, you know, Paul doesn't get ahead of himself. He's amazing. I want to, like, explain everything. He says that are after the flesh, they are after the spirit. We really don't know what after the spirit means yet, just so you know. So if your mind is trying to grasp, it's like, oh, that means be nice all the time, or that means pray more. He hasn't defined after the spirit. But I'll give you a preview, because the spiritual mind, I was going to put up here the renewed mind. You could say it's the renewed mind. Because we all, you know, really, a carnal mind is a holdover from our, you know, BC days. It really is. It's still, our mind is not changed. So it's the renewed mind. And over in Romans chapter 12, I'll keep your place in Romans 8. But over in Romans chapter 12, it says, in verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then he goes on in the next 12, 13, 14, 15, four chapters and shows us what after God looks like, or after the Spirit looks like. And he gets into specifics. As far as what it means. So we're going to get there eventually. But I'm just saying, there's an actual wet place. Paul is headed somewhere. He's not just talking theorems here. But he's not explaining himself. He's not explaining everything as he goes. He's just laying it out. So, and he's been doing this all along, where he'll lay something out and, like, the soul kind of wants to move ahead and get some resolution, and he's not moving. He's not addressing that yet. So that's kind of happening here. We don't know what after the Spirit means. We just know that if we are after the Spirit, certain things are going to happen. We're going to take on a certain image. Okay. So verse 6 says, for to be carnally or fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Okay. So over here we have death. Over here, I'm going to omit peace for now. Well, I won't omit peace. We have life and peace. Okay? To give one's life by the Spirit of life results in life and peace. To use, we'll say, a wisdom, or to use other methods, sun-suppressing methods, to live as uninhabited humanity will only result in other things. It will never result in the life of God. Okay? That's obvious. Makes sense. Do you know why I am all unsettled on the inside? Why I am anxious and upset at uncertainties and injustice? Because I am not in accord with the Spirit of life. Those are all symptoms. Anxiety, upset, injustice, unsettled. It's a symptom. There is no life. There is no peace. Right? Okay. I am not in accord with that Spirit of life, that life-giving Spirit, the Spirit that gives itself. Okay? If I were to give my life the way Jesus did, I would be at peace. I would not be worried about what is happening to me, because it wouldn't matter. I would be in the image of the Son. I would be giving myself for the ungodly and expecting an increase of life. Does that make sense? Are we still not under condemnation? I know. Okay. I know we're not doing that. It's okay. I'm right there with you. I need Jesus too. But you got to look at it. You got to go, the standard of Christ has to be raised if we're going to see, if we're going to forsake the other, okay? So let's just raise it up high and not be ashamed of that. This is who Jesus is. I'm not that. Oh, we're supposed to come to that conclusion. That's right. We keep running from that conclusion. It's so scary. It's so scary. But not if you really understand what Jesus already did. Paul just spent how many chapters Jesus manifested. It's the righteousness apart from the law. All you have to do is trust him. There are two men. He deals with Adam and he deals with Christ. You are in Christ. The one man is crucified. Well, they're all crucified, but one man has stayed dead. Another man is alive. You're in the one who's alive. He's already preached the good news to us. Now he's trying to bring our soul into conformity to the good news. So it's good to be able to say, you know, there's a lot of disruption in my soul on a regular basis. That is a symptom. I may think I'm embracing this realm, and maybe you are to the degree that you know. But the fact that those things are still rampant in the soul is a symptom that perhaps there's another way to embrace it of which you are yet unaware. Is that okay? That is okay, because that's the Christian walk, folks. That's it for the rest of your life. There's always going to be something that's in collision course with Jesus. You think that there's just people who are really wrong and always wrong and you're one of them, and there's people who just, it's just Jesus all the time and you're not one of them? Is that what you think? That people who know the Lord, they never go through this stuff? It's always just Jesus in there all the time? No. If someone really has Jesus, they're probably actually going through it on a regular basis, because they've opened themselves to it. They've opened themselves to the judgment of the cross. And it's become a lifestyle of judging it themselves and getting over into the Lord. And it takes humility and it takes faith and it takes a willingness to let the Holy Spirit lead the relationship. And it takes a willingness to be able to forsake yourself and say, you know what? I do deserve to go to the cross. Instead of, the light shined on me. Run! You know, let's write a song. La, la, la. Oh, I love the Lord. Amen. It's all a big cover up. And the Lord knows, and bless our hearts, we're so cute. But it's good to say, well, is there life and peace? Well, no. Okay. No condemnation. I'm still one with Jesus. He is still in me. The Spirit is obviously dealing. The blood of Jesus forgives me every time I do something wrong. So can I see that the Lord is for me and like step into this journey with him and let him begin to make some headway, So it's okay to see that there's not life and peace, because God is for us. And the only reason he'd be exposing it is why? You just said it. Because he's working it out of us. Not because he's saying, this is who you are and I'm leaving now. He's working it out of us. Okay? Is that good news? I think it's good news. I think it's good news because I have had some success in these areas. So now, on a personal note, when the Holy Spirit goes, look at who you are, Mallory, and believe me, there's lots to see, so he'll just pick a realm, look at who you are, and I'm like, oh my gosh, and it's always like this retrospective thing where he shows me the problem and the contrast between me and himself in the moment, and it has this effect of like shooting back through this tunnel that is my life and seeing every single time I live like that, for like 20-something years. And I'm like, oh my gosh, and that's hard to see. But now I know that when that happens, that it's because he intends on bringing me past it. He doesn't address anything that he's not intending on working out of us. So it's part of the way it goes. It's part of the steps. It's part of the process. He has to divide these realms in our mind so that we can forsake the one and embrace the other. Okay. Let's see. Romans 8:7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Not is an enemy, but is enmity. Its very existence is combative to the Lord. It is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. Okay, the mind of flesh or the mind of uninhabited humanity suppresses the Son. That's combative. All God wants is to inhabit us. And all uninhabited humanity wants to do is for God not to inhabit it. Okay, so when our minds are after this image, even if our heart loves Jesus, we'll end up resisting the very thing that we love over and over again. Okay. it's in combative state. It's God's enemy. Your mind and my mind will never go along with the spirit of life. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and specifically struggling against the Jesus who gives his life, because isn't that the rub? You know, we're looking to acquire position, money, things, whatever, security, whatever, and he's laying it all down. And we're like, "No, no, no, no. I've worked so hard for that." Anyway, okay. This is what I wrote about verse 7. The mind of uninhabited humanity suppresses the Son, which is exactly the opposite of the heart of God. Such a mind will not suffer itself to be subordinate to God's law. I used to think it was talking about the law of Moses. But what if it's talking about the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus? Verse 7, look at it. It is not subject to God's law. And that makes so much sense to me. Because you know what? My mind is never subject to, oh, life out of death. Ooh, sign me up. The carnal mind doesn't go, ooh, sign me up. The carnal mind finds a way to work around it and still look religious. It will not submit to that. It will not submit to the cross. The carnal mind will reject it every time. The cross is the carnal mind's worst nightmare. And there's no waking up from it, from the carnal mind's point of view. But God doesn't have a carnal mind. He knows that the cross actually brings life. So we're going, no, 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 and we're digging in our heels. No! And God's like, I'm trying to get you to a place of life. My life will be over. Yes, it will. Let the earth rejoice. You know? But it's not just that your life will be over. It's that his life will continue in you. That's the issue, even more than your life being over. But the carnal mind can't see Jesus because it suppresses the Son. Get it? So the carnal mind cannot be subject to the law of the Spirit of life. It cannot receive that. It cannot receive that we are... This sounds so cheap, but I don't mean to sound cheap. The product, the fruit, that's better, the fruit of the Spirit of life, insofar as that we have received the Son. No, I'm my own person. No, I'm not of that. I'm special to God because I have things to offer him. No, we can't just be in Christ, can we? Oh, no, we don't want that. And then when it comes to Christ is in you, well, that's great as long as it gives me something, makes me look spiritual. But when Christ in you means go to the cross for someone that we don't like and that it's unfair, oh, forget that too. I'm not subject to that either. Right? And no rebukes or correction here. This is the carnal mind. It doesn't matter who has a carnal mind. You know, if Billy Graham has a carnal mind, he'd be that way. Right? Anybody, this is the carnal mind. This is how the carnal mind works. Just drop the carnal mind in any person. Not subject to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Not subordinate to it. No. No, sir. So I write as with reference to the chart, death? Really? Isn't that a little severe? How about just doesn't know quite yet? Why does it have to be death? Because see, why would I react? Because I'm operating over here so much. Don't call it death. There's got to be some redeeming quality here. No. No. It is death. Because this way of seeing things is in a combative stance against the Lord. Not only does the mind not get it, it doesn't want the Son anywhere around. This is what God did. So we'll just put, over here we'll just put four. Not subject. Not subject. Okay. This doesn't submit to the law of God. Let's see. Verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. There's his conclusion of the last four verses. Those whose mind comes only from a view of uninhabited flesh will never make God happy because they will never let the person of the resurrection be full in them. Can't make God happy. The Son is what makes God happy, right? He puts you here so you can have more of what makes him happy. But when we're on our summer homes and on vacation, we can't make God happy. Not because we're not doing enough, not because we don't know enough, because that's kind of a pitfall for places like this where there's a lot of knowledge flying around. I don't know enough. No, that's not the issue, how much you know. The issue is where your summer home is or where what amusement park you go to, where you go on the weekends. You know what I'm talking about. Not really the weekends. You know what I mean. Where you go when you need to get away from the cross, where you go. Okay? What doesn't please him is this, not being able to live there. Okay? It has nothing to do with what you do or what you know. It's where he can live or not. And that is the acid test for the Lord. Can he live? Then he is pleased. Can he not live? He is not happy. Not, he is not happy with you, Kim. Not, because there's no condemnation for you, Kim. You see what I'm saying? He is just not happy. He's not at rest. He's not at home. He doesn't have a place. He's not happy. Okay? God wants his son. God wants the resurrection to be fulfilled. Uninhabited humanity will never do it. Never do it. As long as the believer's mind operates according to uninhabited humanity, he will find himself at odds with the Lord. And I'm sure you have experienced this, as I have. You love the Lord, but it's like you hit a wall. You either hit a wall in your own walk, or you hit a wall with reference to some other believer in some capacity, whether a friend or a leader. There's like this thing that you collide. You hit a wall. It doesn't work. It's not flowing, okay? He will find himself at odds with the Lord, whether the Lord himself or with other believers in whom the Lord lives. Jesus will not be able to live in him. So the last thing we'll just put over in here, doesn't please God. Doesn't please God. Those believers who operate inside the boundaries of the son's oppressing system cannot serve God in a manner that he can either accept or find satisfying. We cannot even do our basic duty towards God in this place. Now, this is interesting because most of us live here. I say us, I mean believers. Most believers live here. The far majority. I don't even mean, well, we don't and everybody else does. No, through the church ages and all over the world, there are those believers who have found this place. Maybe they didn't read the books we've read. Maybe they haven't come to it the same way we have, but they're living here. And throughout all of humanity and all over the world right now, the vast majority of believers tend to live here in this place. And it's full of activity. And this place is full of knowledge, and this place is full of all kinds of relating, but God's not inhabiting it. It's not a matter of right or wrong. It's a matter of habitation. Where can God live? That is the issue. So what ends up happening is, if we don't, moving back to verse 5, and I'm going to kind of wrap up probably a little bit early, back to this embrace, to be after the Spirit. If this doesn't happen, this core embrace, I am identified with this. I am identified. If that doesn't happen, then we are, our minds are here, and we begin to hear the message of the cross, and Christ is in me, and all this stuff, and we hear it from this mind. And you know what happens? It gets reinterpreted to a way that God can't live in it. Does that make sense? Or let me put it another way. We never quite get it. Or there's a perversion of the cross. We think it's something that God never meant it to be. We think it's torturous. Or we think someone's trying to be superior. Or see, we begin to reinterpret things because we're seeing it from the realm of sun suppression and not from the realm of where God lives, his habitation. And so it twists it all around. So to really have your mind come into accordance with the message of Christ, there has to be a core embrace. This is who I am. This is what I am about. I don't have another pursuit in this life. I am all in. I haven't diversified my portfolio in case the value collapses. I am wholly here. And we kind of talked about this in Romans 6, but it's kind of coming back around again. When I am wholly here, the mind will follow. The mind will follow. But what do we do because we're scared? Anyone want to take a guess? What do? We don't fully invest. What do we do instead? Does anyone know?
Hide.
Run and hide. Or what? Summer home. That's right. We go to our summer home. Just in case this one doesn't work out, at least we've got a backup plan. I know. I'm telling you. I've done it. I'm writing my autobiography right as we speak. No, because my autobiography is in Christ. But I know how it works. And I know, but this is, I'll tell you this, because I've done it. I will tell you this. The quicker that you can just do that and say no, yes, the quicker you can do that, the more growth you will see in your life. And the more clarity will come. I'm talking about not as a formula or hoop jumping thing. I'm talking about in your heart, say, I am after the Spirit. That's my decision. Don't know how to do it all. Don't understand it all. Faith embrace right here inside the boundary. When you do that, you have put yourself on God's ground. And he can do all kinds of things in you that he couldn't do when you were running back and forth between the two. He can do all kinds of stuff in you. He can bring you to all kinds of new clarity as far as what his life is. He can release his life in you in brand new ways. He can bring assurance to your soul that you never had when you're trying to span two realms. Has anyone ever tried to, like, stand in a canoe and stand on the pier at the same time? You know? It's like that. And then we say, I feel insecure. I feel unstable. I don't know if I step on the Lord, you know, fully. It may be even more unstable, because if this just a little bit of the Lord feels unstable, then a lot of the Lord is going to be even more unstable. No, the carnal mind is the canoe. The Lord is the fixed ground. That's what's making it unstable. Okay? So, anyway, we're all different places in the Lord. I didn't expect necessarily that for it to go this to turn this way, to make it as personal as we did today, but I trust the Holy Spirit knows, and he's sharing with all of us, and there's no condemnation, and so you shouldn't get under anything, because I'm right here with you. He has been, even last night, the Lord was dealing with me and just exposing some motives that it's monsters under the bed kind of stuff, like I didn't want to see that. But it's so good because, oh, maybe this problem will finally be dealt with. Maybe these symptoms that are so troubling and take over where Jesus should be, maybe those things will finally be gone, because the cross will be able to address these hidden things under the bed that I haven't wanted to look at, you know. And it's, on one hand, it's like, oh, didn't want to know that about myself. But on the other hand, Jesus already died. The provision's in place. You see what I'm saying? And so because the provision's already in place, it's safe to let the Lord address these things. And while he's doing it, to let him love us in that way, not to feel like he's an impartial taskmaster or headmaster of a boarding school that beats the kids when the parents don't know, when they do something wrong, because that's not who God is. He's our Father who loves us, and he's trying to bring us in, and he wants to father us. He wants to bring us in to his heritage, to the image of his Son, so that he can more fully relate to us that way. And that's what he's trying to do. Okay, so go with it. If the Lord is dealing with you in a personal area, let him do that. Don't run off in the same old summer homes, amusement parks. Stay with him in no condemnation and let him deal, and let the blood of Jesus wash it away. Because if you can let him destroy those things in you, he will build Christ in its place. He will build Christ. And it's just like what Amber said. You get after Jesus and he will, it's a roundabout way. We think we are supposed to hit our problems head on, but we're not. We're supposed to go after the Lord, and those things get dealt with kind of in the tail of it, okay? Let's just pray for a couple minutes and see if the Lord wants to address anything. And I don't mean that in a way, but you just take your things before the Lord, and I will pray. And then if anyone wants to pray out loud, no pressure at all, but you are certainly free to do so. Or if you want to go to someone and ask for prayer, we can do that sort of thing too. And we can leave it running for a little while and see how it goes. Oh, Jesus, we just love you. And I just thank you that your Spirit just, the Holy Spirit just loves you and just so wants us to know you the way that he knows you. And Lord, our minds are wrong and we just don't know how to get to you in the right way. And there are things in us we don't know how to address. But the very thing we want, we run from. And it's just, we make it murky and unclear with our self-justification, Lord. And I know that you've been shining the light of life here and in so doing, you're showing what's darkness. And Lord, I just pray for each heart here where you're addressing and you're dealing and you're moving. And I just pray for as sins or selfness emerges and comes to light, Lord, that it would be washed away with your blood. Lord, that it's not so much a judgment on the person that you're trying to do, but you're trying to get them to side with you in judgment against it. Lord, so I pray for grace for each person here, that they would be able to side with you against themselves and against the things that are contrary to you and say, yes, that was judged. It should be judged, and it's right for it to be judged. And I stand with God and say, that's judged. Lord, I just pray for tendencies to take vacations in the realm of the flesh, Lord. I just ask forgiveness for each and every one of us. Lord, I know that I do it. I'm sure everyone here does it. Lord, it needs to just be Jesus all the time, and we need you to do that and to bring us into that. Lord, I pray that as we begin to make our escape plans at different times, that the Holy Spirit, we begin to just pull our hearts and say, hey, stay with me, instead of letting us go off on our own way, because it only brings death. It never brings Jesus. Lord, I just know that this is your work, and me praying it doesn't even make it happen, but we want to agree with you. We want to say yes in as many ways as we know how. Lord, I just pray for breakthroughs in people's lives who have been needing to move forward. Lord, I pray for as they make stands with you and say yes to you and embrace the reality of the Spirit of life, that will release bondages in people's lives in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for an ability to enter into this wonderful realm of the new creation with all of its sweetness and its ease and its clarity, Lord, and its beauty, beautiful way of relating, of giving for others. Holy Spirit, we do want you to be able to continue to move.
We're so grateful for that our hearts can't stop pounding and beating after that, that we just break open and we say yes, and we do sing songs, and the poems come out, and our mouths open, because we're so full of that life, that it's so new to us. But Lord, as we're transitioning, Father, we thank you so much for this new life that we have. And Father, anything that needs to be established, Lord, we're just fully open to that right now. Thank you, Jesus.
Does anybody else want to pray? Lord, we have to move on because we have time constraints, and you know that. But Lord, your Holy Spirit isn't constrained by our time, our obligations in time. Lord, I pray that you would continue to speak to our hearts and continue to nurture and water the things that you've planted there. Lord, I pray that you would help us, even though we can be busy in our bodies, Lord, but we can still in our hearts and in our minds be aware of what you're saying and what you're doing. And I pray that things won't be lost, but that they will be cultivated and held by each heart here who wants more of you, Lord. We trust as we go on, Lord, that your presence goes with us and that you will continue to use all things to conform us to the image of the Son. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys. Thank you. You're dismissed.